There was no room for them in the inn. This is a cold and even haunting statement here in the middle of what should be a warm and generous telling of Jesus' birth. Again, there was no room in the inn, and it jolts us, and we're sort of struck that here is this child, this precious child, the King of Kings, and there is no room for them. And it makes us wonder, how did we get to this point where there would be no room for this child, but indeed any child and any family in this situation? Well, Luke starts at the top of the social pecking order, and he lets us know that there's an emperor who has declared a census. You see, the Roman Empire is about to embark on a century of unparalleled expansion, conquest, and consolidation of their empire. And to do this, they need two things. They need troops, and they need money, taxes. And so they're going to have a census to figure this out. And so in some smoke-filled back rooms of a marble-columned palace, senators and the emperor agreed to this. This is how it often works. Poobahs, call them emperors, senators, presidents, governors, CEOs, hedge fund executives, venture capitalists, they go by many names. And they decide things, and the rest of us have to deal with the consequences of their decisions, the pain to which they are often immune, like Mary and Joseph then have to travel. But Luke does not simply let us rest the fault at the top. For when they arrive in Joseph's town, there certainly would have been extended family. There should have been somebody somewhere who did something about this obviously pregnant woman. Somebody should have provided a bed, some comfort. But no, there was no room for them. And it's a top-down failure in humanity to make room for God, for a needy family. The Bible is often uncomfortable in that it presents a truth about how we live as humans. But I think this particular story of no room is one that we probably know well. For in the last year and a half, we have all experienced times and places where we have made less room for other people, and other people have made less room for us. I remember when social distancing was not social distancing. It was simply these green dots on the floor that said, 6 feet apart, please. And out of respect for myself and for you, we all complied. Again, at that point, it was just physical distancing misnamed as social distancing. But slowly but surely, over the next year and a half, over all sorts of conflict and divisions, it became social distancing. And we found that in spite of the fact that we have so many ways to communicate with one another, we still find ourselves so economically, politically, religiously, spiritually, socially, societally distanced. Indeed, how many of you have found in the last year that you have chosen not to make room for somebody? Blocked, unfriended, unfollowed, ignored, ostracized, shunned, or just canceled. Again, in some ways, this is a normal pattern of life, that friendships come and go, and sometimes we even decide that we need some space from somebody. It's just too toxic for us. But this last year and a half has presided ample justification, ample excuse to, again, put distance between ourselves and others, to say there is no room for you in my life, and to hear from others that they no longer make room for us. So we know this story of no room at the inn all too well at this point. But the story, of course, does not end there, because the story, as Luke tells it, the Christmas story, is not about finally the hardness of the human heart, but it's about the generous and joyful heart of God. And even though the world did not make room for God, did not make room for a needy mother, a newborn baby, it turns out that God still makes room for the world in Jesus Christ. Again, the world did not make room for Jesus, but God and Jesus is making room for the world. For when I just consider the manger that is so small, I think about how much room is in that manger. Room for a mother and father who are weary and exhausted, filled with such joy, but also such fear that accompanies a newborn. And I'm sure along the way that there were others who came, innkeepers, midwives, and other family that out of curiosity and also a twinge of guilt peered their faces in there. And then we know that shepherds came right when the baby had finally fallen asleep. Midnight visitors show up bringing stinky, loud, and noisy sheep to join there. Who knows what other animals in the manger? Donkeys, perhaps, cows, who knows, birds, spiders, all sorts of things that crawl and fly and walk. And then later, the magi would come, these people from a strange culture far away, and they would bring their majestic gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, the best in some ways of what creation has to offer. And we know that there were angels bending low that night in and around Bethlehem. And so we see here that in this small manger, suddenly God has made room. God has made room for heaven and earth to sing and repeat the sounding joy. God has made room for all types of people. Again, you see that on Christmas, God makes room for us to come and to worship and to behold and discover with joy that God has not given us up on this earth, on us as humans, but has decided to become one of us, O mystery of mysteries. So Christmas is about making room. And so then a challenge for all of us to consider whom in our life is God calling us to make room for. And whom are we praying that in this coming year they will make room for us? But this is not simply a personal. This came to us anew this year. We were challenged as a church to make room. This last week we got a call that there were 9 Afghan refugees that were coming. You see, one of them had been a translator for the U.S. Army, and so to stay in Afghanistan would have meant death at the hands of the Taliban for him and for his family. And so, and I'm sure what is a story of terror and adventure, they extracted his family. But here they are now, just a few days before Christmas, totally other than us. And yet there is this call to make room for them, physically now, but indeed emotionally, spiritually, as they journey from the valley of the shadow of death into greener pastures. Again, Christmas is about making room for each other, making room for God. But chiefly, of course, it's about God making room for us. And at this point, I want to be clear, though, that when I say God makes room for all of creation, that God makes room for us, I'm not simply talking about people 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about you. God, this Christmas, as always, is making room for you in the manger, making room for you to come and on bended knee worship and behold the Christ child, to be filled with the radiant joy that God's love continues on in this world, to see the light that shines in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. But I think for all of us then, as we contemplate this room that God makes in the manger for us, there's at least in all of us the slightest voice that nags and has a sense that we're not really worthy of being in that manger. When we ponder what's happened to us in the last year, the ways in which we have been left out, the ways in which we have left others out of our lives, in which hardness has grown into this heart, that we know, in spite of our justifications, does not belong in the presence of God. And so again, we might ask ourselves, do I really have a place here? Well, in the first story here in the Gospel of Luke, the world wasn't ready. The world didn't make room. The world wasn't worthy. Yet God still chose in Jesus Christ to make room for all of them. And God still chooses to make room for us. And what the Christmas story points to, this God in Jesus Christ that's always making room, is what Jesus' ministry will be about. As he makes room for the downtrodden, for the brokenhearted, for the insufferably proud, for the deceitfully rich, for the wretchedly poor, for the distracted and the dejected, all the ways in which we're broken and sinful, God still calls us in. Indeed, the whole ministry points towards this, ultimately in the cross and the empty tomb. And so this day, hear the news of great joy for all the people that in the manger, God has chosen to make room for you, to make room for you this night to come and to worship in joy, to worship all of the days and into eternity. Amen.